Ups. All right. Naomi and I are going to sing. I just thought I'd bring her a mic.
Yeah. push it around the back.
There you go.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I don't remember for many years, but I mean, Steve Guthrie, he's on our prayer list, he has cancer. And they thought it was a remission, but it's not. It got worse. He's brought up by son, and he's called him mom. It's got to be the point where he just got into the bladder, he's bleeding, everything else. We thought it was a remission. He's great, and Steve Guthrie, he's been a friend of ours for years and years.
And he had about 3-4 months to live.
They're about 3 or 4 months right now.
All right. Let's have special prayer for him right at this time. Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, in this special prayer that we have right now for Steve?
Heavenly Father, we are mindful of those who are sick among us. And we just pray for all of them. Pray especially for this Guthrie friend of Delisle family, Lord. We just ask your presence upon him, Lord, and just commit him into your hands, Lord, for you are the great physician. You know his condition.
Amen. Thank you.
Lord.
Yeah. Is he any relation to Gary and Barbara?
Yes.
Is he their son?
My son is a police officer. He's in for a while with the reserve, so he's still a police officer.
Okay.
He
yeah.
Had a bag and everything else. I just came back for us.
Well, we hate it when things like that happen, but there's not much we can do except pray. God's in charge. Remember that. Our message this morning, I'm taking a text and preaching from it. In Luke chapter 9, verse 43. This will be brief. It's a short verse of scripture. One that I hope each one of us can commit to memory and always take note that, as this verse says, Luke 9:43, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. We need to stand back every once in a while and see with our spiritual eyes the mighty power of God. And when we do, I believe that we too will be in amazement. You know, today there are so many people who are questioning and even doubting the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of our more liberal denominations, including some of them that bear the name Baptist, I hate to say, are looking at Jesus and seeing only a man instead of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God. He was God manifest in the flesh. And we believe Jesus when he said there, "You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Jesus Christ is God. Now, we not only believe that Jesus is God, but we also believe this Bible. We believe it is the inerrant, infallible, divinely inspired Word of God. Now, if you were to take away my King James Bible, You would take away the source of my faith. It's the Bible that tells us about Jesus. By the way, I'm already suspicious of Bill O'Reilly's book that's coming out about killing Jesus. Now, I've read his books about killing Lincoln, and I enjoyed reading that. I also read the one about killing Kennedy. But now then he's coming out with one in which he says he's going to tell us a lot of new things about killing Jesus. Now, I'm suspicious. I wonder where he's going to get his information. Seriously. He may be going beyond his field of expertise in this. If what he says isn't in the Bible, it's going to be suspect. And I'm suspicious of any facts or doctrine that cannot be backed up by Scripture. And you should be too. So we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we also believe in the Holy Spirit of God. We who are saved have the indwelling presence and witness of God's Holy Spirit. And if we know anything at all about God, let's give the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the credit for it, because he is the one who takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. Now, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't know them. And the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to us in that still small voice that tells us this is right and this is wrong. This is truth, this is error. I read in the Bible about those 40 days between the resurrection of Christ and his ascension back to heaven. And the Bible tells us that during that 40-day period, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now, I wish I knew what they were. Nobody wrote them down for us. But we do have the record of his miraculous power that was demonstrated both during and after his earthly ministry that's preserved for us in the Gospels. And I want us to look at some of those this morning. If it does nothing else for us, it will at least reinforce our faith as we talk about the proofs of God's power. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. In this chapter, this ninth chapter, the verses surround the text here that we used. We have a father who has brought his son, his child, to Jesus. Now, the reason he brought him was because his son, his only son, I might say, was possessed by a devil. Now, today, those who are enlightened do not believe in devil possession. They had a lot of it in Jesus' day, but I guess it got all phased out, and we don't have devil possession anymore. A person is not devil-possessed when he takes a gun and goes into a school room and begins shooting little children. He's not devil-possessed. You mention that, they'll ride you out of town on a rail. Because we've evolved beyond that belief in devil possession. But in Jesus' day, it was rather common for people to be devil possessed or to have unclean spirits in them. This man had such a son. And that evil spirit in him, the Bible says, would tear him up. He would foam at the mouth. And that demon would bruise him. And even while the father was talking to Jesus about him, and this boy is standing there, this kid had one of his fits. And that evil spirit that was in him threw him down. And right in front of Jesus. And Jesus rebuked that unclean spirit, and he healed that child, and he delivered him whole to his father. We're talking about being amazed at that mighty power of Jesus. He had power over the spirit world. Demonic control yields to the power of Jesus. Now in Matthew 8, we see the power of Jesus demonstrated when a poor outcast leper came to Jesus. Leprosy was a contagious disease. There was no cure for it. When a person became a leper, they had to distance themselves from everyone, including their own family, their spouse, their children, their grandchildren, their friends, their neighbors. And they had to wear a cloth over their face, and if anyone got within spitting distance of them, you might say, they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" and warn the people, "Don't get close to me or you'll get it." And here comes this leper to Jesus. And in his desperation, he cries out to Jesus and he says, "Lord." He called him Lord. He said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Now, one law concerning leprosy. If a person has leprosy, you don't touch him. We said it's contagious. You don't touch him. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched this leprous man and said, "I will. Be thou clean." Amen. And his leprosy left him immediately. Now, Jesus had power over sickness and over diseases that medical science today still don't have the answer to. And you know what? They took this great physician and they nailed him to a cross. They killed him. Oh, no, don't worry, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead the third day. Also in Matthew chapter 8, that's a wonderful chapter to read. There was a Roman officer in the Roman army. He was stationed there at Capernaum. And he had a servant. Must have been a very devoted servant that he thought an awful lot of. This servant got sick. He was stricken down with palsy. And he was in bed, confined to bed. The Bible says he was grievously tormented. This Roman army officer came to Jesus. And he told him about his servant being sick with palsy. And Jesus, you know how he is, he said, I'll come and heal him. And the Roman officer said to Jesus, he said, sir, it will not be necessary for you to come down to Capernaum to heal my servant. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. We're talking about the power of Jesus. This is long range power. He's a long way from Capernaum. Jesus said to him, as he marveled at his faith, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now listen to this. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I'm talking about the power of Jesus, long range power. Distance was no hindrance to him. So they killed him, but he rose from the dead. Also in Matthew 8, wow, here's another one. Jesus went down to Simon Peter's house. I imagine they just stopped in, you know, he wasn't a stranger there. And Peter says to his wife, he says, wife, make us a sandwich for lunch, we're hungry. She says, Peter, I don't feel at all well today. She says, I've got a fever. Jesus says, no problem. He went over there, touched her, and the fever left. I'm talking about being amazed at the power of Jesus Christ. And boy, there were some other people around there, and after that display of power, the people of faith began to bring their sick folks in. And those that were possessed with devils. And the Bible says that he cast out the evil spirits with his word. And listen to this. And he healed all that were sick. Healed all of them. God rewarded their faith. He went about in all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people, even those that were not covered with Obamacare. And nobody was charged for his services. He didn't say that'll be $50, that'll be $100. Nobody was charged for his services. No doctor bills, no medical bills. Think of that. It was free. Why, no wonder they crucified him. He was putting all of the doctors and the pharmacists out of business, wasn't he? The doctor and his nurse sitting there playing pinochle, you know, all day long. They had no patience. Why? Because Jesus is on the loose. He's healing every sickness and every disease without drugs and without medicines and without x-rays and without CAT scans and without operations. That was a demonstration of his great power. And they crucified him for it. But he rose from the dead the third day. One day Jesus was on a ship with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. He was tired, so he decided to take a nap. He found something and made a pillow out of it and lay there and he went to sleep. While he was asleep, the old devil was out here controlling the the air, and the devil says, man, I'm going to get him now, wipe him out, I'm going to drown him in the Sea of Galilee, I'm going to drown all of his disciples with him. And so here comes a big wind and a storm, and the disciples woke Jesus up and said, wake up, we're perishing, we're going to drown in the storm. Jesus rose up, stretched, rubbed his eyes, looked out across that stormy sea, says, peace, be still. I'm talking about the power of Jesus. Peace, be still. And the wind quit blowing, and the waves settled down. Even the winds and the sea obeyed his voice. He has power over nature. By the way, who do you think sent the flood in Noah's day? That was back before the Climate Control Committee in Washington, D.C. was activated. Who sends rain upon the earth? Who's in charge of the climate? I think Jesus is. So they killed him. God raised him from the dead. Matthew chapter 9. We've got two blind men. They came to Jesus blind. Said, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus asked him, all he was to them was a voice. They couldn't see him. Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? And they said, yea, Lord. And he reached out his blessed fingers and touched their eyes, and they received their sight. Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. He has power to give sight to blind eyes. Yeah. That went over big. The crowd cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be on us and on our children. They did. The women went to his tomb on the morning of the third day to anoint his body. An angel appeared and rolled away the stone and said to them, he is not here. He is risen. Talking about the amazing power of Jesus. Did you know that he shared his power with others? It's amazing. Matthew 10:1. Jesus called unto him his 12 apostles. The Bible says he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You see, he gave them their medical diplomas right there, didn't he? They didn't have to go to medical school. And then he told them, he says to them, go, and he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But that's not all he told them to do. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. What's he doing? Jesus is multiplying himself in others. He is empowering others. He's sharing his power with others. The world didn't like that, so they killed him. They'd rather live with sickness and disease and death and devil possession than with Jesus, sin didn't bother them at all. In John chapter 5, I like this when Jesus went down to the pool at Bethesda. There in the city of Jerusalem, he found a man who had had an infirmity for 38 years. That's as long as some of you have been around. 38 years. He's laying there helpless on a mat. Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He said to him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when its waters are troubled by the angel." Jesus said, "Let's take a shortcut." He said, "Let's save some time. Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Don't you know if I could arise, take up my bed and walk, I'd have done it 38 years ago. But with the command comes the power. And this man had the faith to believe, and he rose up and walked. Immediately, he was made whole. That's great power. People saw what Jesus done, said, "We'll not have this man to rule over us." So they killed him, crucified him. But on the morning of the third day, the empty tomb, there were two men in the empty tomb that announced, "He is not here, but is risen." We talked about this in Sunday school a little bit, about Matthew 14, when Jesus took a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he blessed them and he broke them and gave them to his disciples, and his disciples distributed them out here to 5,000 men besides the women and children. And everybody had all they could eat, and they gathered up what was left over, and they had 12 basketfuls remaining. We're talking about the power. No ordinary man could do that. But yonder in the Garden of Gethsemane, old Judas Iscariot came up and placed a kiss of betrayal upon his cheek and turned him over to the authorities. He was taken before Caiaphas the high priest. Jesus testified, "Hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Caiaphas cried out to the people around him, "You've heard this blasphemy. What think you?" And that council of chief priests and elders and all the assembled Jews said, "He is guilty of death. Kill him. Crucify him." They spit in his face. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was in a house. I like this one. A crowd of people all around him. Here's a fellow out here that was sick of palsy. He was bedfast, couldn't get out of bed. But he had 4 friends. And each one of those friends got a hold of the corner of his cot and brought him to Jesus. But they couldn't get into the presence of Jesus. What are we going to do? They climbed up on top of the house. They had flat-roofed houses back in those days. And they got up there and they tore a hole in the roof and let this man down right into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus looked at this man on that cot. And in the midst of all of these people, he said to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He hadn't even asked him. Jesus just popped out and said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And all of the people around were amazed and says, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" And Jesus said, it's recorded in Mark chapter 2 and verse 10. You remember this verse, Mark 2 verse 10. "The Son of Man," that's him, "hath power on earth to forgive sins." And if you have ever been forgiven of sins, he's the one that's done it. Because he's the one that has the power. You remember that. He's the only one who can. And that's real power. I can remember. This goes way back. I can remember back when I was 14 years old. Back in the summer of 1940. I heard a preacher preach from the Bible. And say that God forgives sins. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost and unsaved. By faith I came to Jesus. And by the power of his shed blood, he cleansed me from all my sins and made me a child of God. And I'm still a child of God. Let's go to Calvary for a minute before I close, please. On the cross, Jesus was crucified between two thieves, one on his right, one on his left. At the first, they mocked him. And they said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." And then after a while, one of those old boys turned to Jesus. And he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus answered him and he said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And just as sure as I'm standing here, I believe that peace came into that old sinner's heart. A peace that overpowered the pain in his body that he was feeling at that time. And joy flooded over his soul like a tidal wave. And with all the world looking on, all of his sins were rolled from him onto Jesus. And Jesus died for his sins. And when the sun went down that day, his immortal soul was in paradise in the presence of Jesus, enjoying the blessings of rest. His pain and his sufferings was all over, and he was safe on that beautiful shore because of the power of Jesus. And I ask you this morning, do you have that assurance? We sang a song this morning opening our Sunday school, I think it was, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. He's the one that loves you. He's the one who wants to forgive you all of your sins, your iniquities, your trespasses. He has the power to cleanse you from all of your sin. He has the power to save you with an everlasting salvation. He can give you eternal life, and he'll take you to heaven when you die. All of it free. And Jesus Christ is the only one in this entire universe that can do that. If you accept him today, he'll save you. If you continue to lie spiritually dead in the shadow of death with the stain of sin upon your soul, you're going to die without Christ and without hope. But the gospel message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, John Covington believed that. Now he's with Jesus. Well, Les Cook lives down here next block. He believed that. Now he's with Jesus. Don Robbins believed that. Now he's with Jesus. And I bet you that you know somebody else that's like that. They live for Christ. They had their faith and trust in him. And now they're enjoying the bliss of heaven. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and graciousness toward us. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the power. We could just go on and on today talking about the power of Christ. We could use illustrations from history that would take us all day to talk about. But we've confined ourselves to these miracles of healing that are shown us in the word of God. And we believe them. We believe in the power of Christ. And that power has not been abated through the years. It's still just as strong today as it has ever been. And we thank you for the power that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If there's one in this congregation today that has never made a public profession of their faith in Christ as their Savior and Lord, I pray that today the Holy Spirit of God will lead them down the aisle and lead them into the kingdom of God through faith in the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.
478.
Just a verse of invitation today. Somebody here might need to come. You know your heart. God needs it. Will you come? Service tonight, 6 o'clock, the Bataan Death March. As we're dismissed this morning, Brother Sam, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Helpless. We bring Steve before you, Lord, and you can do a miracle. We do believe in miracles. You do miracles in our lives all the time, and we pray for a miracle in Steve's life, in Fran's daughter's life, Lord. But we confess, we believe, but we don't believe. So Lord, we ask you to have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, and Lord, in your grace, in your total power, Lord Jesus, you have all power, and you are able to save Steve, to heal Steve instantaneously. Yes. And so, Lord, we believe that you can do that, and with Fran's daughter, too. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you, thanking for your mercy, your grace, your love. And, Lord, we just think, O Lord, of that word of Aaron, Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And that you may be glorified always in us and through us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen.